was out the other day and have a pretty interesting story of, we're always talking about bass crowded ponds. We're always talking about harvest. We're always saying, you know, we used to see bluegill crowded, now we're seeing bass crowded. But we have an actual case study in which a friend of mine, I gave him a challenge to harvest, and he is harvesting. His goal is to harvest every single fish, and we're going to hit on that in this whole podcast, which brings the basis of this podcast of what fish you should harvest, how many you should harvest, and, you know, other cool ways into which you can harvest specifically exactly what you need to increase the production in your pond, improve the genetics.
You know, we get to talk about some pretty cool stuff, Matt, and harvest is very near and dear to my heart. But I was shocked tonight in this podcast because you not only talk about harvest, but you bring in biblical plagues. And, you know, talking from harvest to biblical plague, that's a tough segue, man, but you did it flawlessly. I think it was dynamite, my friend, dynamite.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. And when you talk about frogs and biblical plagues, you know we're going to get good listeners. So I appreciate it.
All right, so we got harvest. We've got harvest, tagging, rivers of blood, and frogs. That's all right. In the same podcast.
Welcome to Sitting Dockside. This podcast is for people who dig ponds and lakes as much as we do. On this podcast, we're going to bring the most knowledgeable people from all over the country. Talk about wildlife, fisheries, lake construction, lake management. Sit them down, hang out, and just talk some shop. I'm your host, Matt Rail. I've been working with lakes and ponds for over 20 years, and during that time, I've picked up on a ton of tips and tricks from lake and pond owners all over the country. So if you want to learn how to catch some smiles for your kids and grandkids off your lake, or how to grow some memories off your pond, then come sit with us, Sitting Dockside. So Troy, I got a customer of mine who actually, you know how we always say when we run against bass crowded ponds, you need to harvest your bass. You need to get out there and it's not a family pet. Just go ahead and harvest these fish. And we see it over and over and over. So yeah. I have a customer who actually for 2 years has turned his hat and got serious. And I was like, how many can you harvest? And he was like, I think I can harvest all of them. 2-acre lake, not a big one. And so I said, let's do it. Harvest everything you can is the challenge. And I want to record it. And then basically, we're going to shock it at the end of the year, see how much is left. And then we're going to see, as you remove these fish, what is your unit of effort? That was one curve. Like, he would go out sometimes at the beginning and catch 15 fish within an hour. At the end of this experiment, he is catching 2 fish per fishing event per hour. And we're going to also not only do that, we want to see if relative weights increase, because how old are these fish in the system that you left over? Let's say there are 15, 20 fish left over in the whole system. Are their relative weights going to increase? Are these fish so aged out of the system that if you really pour it to them, they're going to gain tenths of pound? So that was kind of the challenge of this cool experiment.
I like that. I like it a lot. And on 2 acres, it should be relatively easy to hook and line. I mean, I don't know what numbers you're talking about, but obviously harvesting, we've talked about this before. Harvesting is vital. There's multiple ways to harvest based on relative weight, based on just sheer numbers, multiple ways to harvest, and fine tuning exactly what needs to be done is the important part of that. Now, what you threw in there about seeing how the remainder did is pretty cool. I'd like to know how that turned out.
Well, a little bit of this experiment is that, yeah, this guy that we're working with is really this pond owner, and he just bought the property, a family property, and he's wanting to turn it into a prestigious bass fishery. So his challenge was to remove it. Now we came back and shocked it in the late summer of this year. And obviously he put a huge dent into the system, and we did start to see relative weights start to increase during the shocking event. Even from the relative, we harvest fish then too. Even from that time to now, we're starting to see relative weights tick up from 70s to 80s. Now, where it's going to be next year. But here's a cool thing that we know we are getting close to the end of these adult fish, every one of them out of the system. And is we're walking up, or he's walking up, he's telling me about it, to the edge of the pond, and now he sees millions of frogs along the edge. And if you ever were at a fish kill or a winter kill, that is a big indicator you don't have many fish left, or largemouth particularly, because you don't have the Armageddon. And there's some biologists think that, you know, back in the day of one of the plagues is that a lot of the fish were killed because of the water quality issues. And then the fish were able to, they were dead, and then allowed a lot of these tadpoles to get hatched out and move up onto land. And that is actually, why we have one of the plagues, is because of the water quality. They think the blood, the river ran red. Debate, you know, whatever you think, but that probably didn't hold very many fish. So the fish were gone, and that the tadpoles took over. And then, so now we have him harvesting all these largemouths out of the system. We're starting to see the system change. He's seeing a lot of bluegills along the edges. He's seeing tadpoles along the edges. His relative weights are starting to take up. His time for unit of effort is getting harvested. Guess how many fish, how many pounds of fish he harvested per acre. Now, let me put a break here. Is we have traditionally say there's different biologists have different numbers, but a lot of them say you need to harvest 20 pounds per acre, and then we'll stock forage base behind it. When you're bass grout, I heard 40 pounds per acre and stock forage base behind it. I've heard 60 pounds. I've heard different ways. But now we quantitatively have a number of how many pounds he's removed to get to the other side. Some say we may harvest too much, but at least we quantitatively a benchmark.
So quantitatively having a benchmark I think is good. I would say I'm going with 120 pounds per acre.
I think he's 141 total.
So 70 pounds per acre.
Yeah.
Man, I you know, this comes down to harvesting comes down to what a client wants. We've talked about this in the past. You know, you will see numbers from years ago anywhere from 15 pounds per surface acre to 30 or 40 pounds per surface acre. My go-to kind of from the get-go, if you're wanting what we kind of consider a middle-of-the-road healthy fishery, maybe not a trophy fishery, maybe not a true balanced fishery, but something in between. From the beginning, 30 to 40 pounds per acre, I think is a pretty good number. The caveat there is that you've done that from the beginning of the fishery. Once you are behind the eight ball and you've let it go for multiple years, then yeah, that number automatically has to go up, necessarily has to go up to get to the other side of what you're trying to accomplish. Now, people say, well, you went too far. If you're wanting a true trophy fishery, you have to go too far. You have to have fewer numbers in there.
Yeah.
Because you need fewer numbers so they can continue to grow well.
Yeah, let me give you some caveats. I say 2 acres, but there is like a island in it. So it's probably more, it's probably less than that, maybe even an acre and a half. I can give you true numbers at a future podcast. Exactly. But the other caveat is this is an unmanaged lake. It had no feeder, no aeration. So now we have, let's say it's 70 pounds is what that system produced naturally with by Mother Nature. Just if you threw fish in, walk back 10, but it's interesting to me to know what that number is. You know, now we have at least a benchmark, a Mendoza line, into which we can, or even a sliding scale, into which now
you
we
and
can.
Your Mendoza line.
The and so we can, that we have a sliding scale, so now we can, it can sharpen our craft. That's why
I it can. Yeah, no, I think it's important. Obviously, we have a pretty good benchmark for, like I say, for harvest rates based on initial stockings and what you should do after basically year two. But having a benchmark of what it should be after 10 or 15 years of zero harvest, you know, what number do you need to be at? And we always, in that scenario, we always set that bar higher. But knowing exactly where to set it is sometimes tough to do, because you always have that balancing act with clients where they're like, all right, I want my fishery to be better. I just want better fish. Well, when they get to the end of their harvest and they're not catching fish because you've reduced the number so dramatically, then they're, you know, they wind up not being real happy about that either. And you have to build back that population to some degree, but at least you're at a point then that you can build back at a pace that is more conducive for a more healthy fishery.
Which leads us into how to harvest. So there's been, and guys still do it, they'll have bass crowded ponds and then all of a sudden put a slot size because that's what they're accustomed to. It's like, I will take all the 9 to 11s out. I'll take all the small ones out of the system. And that will work if that's the only way you can to do it, but there are better ways. And you want to pick this up, Troy, of harvesting?
Yeah, well, I've thought about this quite a lot, Matt. Yeah, so managing a fishery and harvesting based on relative weights. So when we talk about relative weights, we talked about this in the past. I kind of liken it to the body mass index for humans, except unlike our government, we want our fish to be obese. So, So for if you're wanting your fishery to be extremely healthy, you would harvest fish that have low relative weights, meaning they are not meeting the weight they should be at for the length that they are.
So there is a chart, right, that tells, we've caught a million fish, and we know exactly what a 12-inch fish should weigh, right at 1 pound. And if it's less than that, 9/10 of a pound, it's a 90% relative weight. If it's a 1.1 pound, it's 110%. And there is actually a video on pwnra.org, who is a representative of podcasts and helps us put this on. And of that nonprofit, it has a video of bass grade card, and it talks about relative weight. So if you're not sure where we're talking about still, go back to that video and get yourself familiar about harvesting. But I hand it back over to you, Troy.
Well, the one caveat I would add to that, I do think you need to harvest based on relative weights. I think that's the most effective way to harvest. However, if you have a population that is dominated by 16-inch fish and under, you still have to harvest a large portion of your harvest amount based on the length, because you got to imagine when you're harvesting fish, you're not just harvesting the bass to thin that population to get them healthier. You're thinning the population that is consuming the size forage base that you need to continue to grow. So if you only harvest based on relative weights, which I think is important, you may not necessarily be harvesting the right number of smaller bass to let the forage base continue to grow at the proper pace. So if you're dominated by 14 to 16 inch bass, those bass need to be eating, you know, a 4 to 6 inch bluegill, 4 to 5 inch bluegill. Well, there's not going to be a lot of 4 to 5 inch bluegill. And if you don't harvest those bass, there's never going to be a lot of 4 to 5 inch bluegill. So you still have to harvest based on a length But you need to take into consideration that if you catch a 20 or a 21 or a 22 or a 23 inch fish that is severely malnourished, you need to remove that fish as well, because leaving it in there is just leaving a fish in there that's going to occupy space and eat forage, and it's never going to meet its potential. So they have to come out as well.
Yeah. So if I'm hearing this correct, and is a relative weight is great. And the reason we do relative weights, just go one step further, is to, let's say you have the best genetics coming out of your young, and it's a showing my age, but Bo Jackson coming out of that clutch, your class, and he is the biggest, the fattest, the best genetics. He is going to be the biggest fish in the system. So he's mostly also the most aggressive. And when you're just getting a slot, you're taking that future year class aggression out of the system, and you would be harvesting Bo Jackson first. But with the relative weight chart, would say he would be a big enough fish. He's 100% relative weight. Throw him out. Let's take all the rest of the smaller fish and that have poorer genetics, throwing back better genetics, and over time you improve your genetics and be harvesting at the same time. That's the goal. Now, what Troy is saying, though, is if you're going to harvest fish, sometimes there's just so many, it's better to harvest a slot than not harvest at all. And
that's right.
And
now, I always tell my clients on that line of thinking, I always tell my clients, you know, harvest this size because it's the one that's really dominating the population. But if you catch a 12-inch fish that should be 1.1 pounds and it's 1.8 pounds, you need to let that fish live. You don't need to throw it out. So there's always those caveats, and those relative weights are very, very important because you want to keep that strong genetic trait in there. But at the same time, if you're dominated by 17 to 20-inch fish, the focus is going to be on 17 to 20 inch fish. You're going to throw fish out of all sizes based on relative weights, but you're still going to have to focus to some degree on that slot. You need to look at the relative weight in that slot, but you're going to necessarily take out more fish, I think, in that slot limit than of any other
right.
class.
Right. And maintaining, and also relative weights, just one thing further. If it's a big fish and skinny, which Troy hit on earlier, and it's low relative weight, it's usually aged out, get them out. And that also.
Yeah, and it's weird. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Which is weird because you may be harvesting a 24-inch fish on a bass grout system and throwing in an 11-inch fish back. That's very foreign. But if that 11-inch is greater relative weight percentage, you'd be throwing him, putting his genetics back in the system. He's going to grow in than a skinny old fish out of the system. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so keep in mind, too, that if you have a 24-inch fish that should weigh, you know, probably nearly 8.5 pounds, if it weighs 6 pounds, then it's sitting at what, you know, 75% of what it should be, which means it's in very poor health. If it's 24 inches long, it's probably already potentially 5 or 6 years old, depending on where you're at in the country. And it does not have as much time to live, so it can never – even if it were able to overcome that thin scenario, it's never going to max out at its proper weight because it doesn't have as long to live. And, you know, harvest is one of those things that's very difficult because for many, many years, catch and release was taught and practiced. Yeah. And it was utilized in every water body scenario. And it just doesn't work in private impoundments. And I'll give you another example that's tough. When we do the all-female bass fisheries and we talk about harvesting, man, sometimes we're harvesting fish because of the slot we're harvesting at. They may be 120, 130, 140% relative weights. Now, we don't just chunk them out. We find somewhere for them to go because they're obviously very healthy fish. But we have to make clients remove fish sometimes that are 5, 6, 7 pounds that look like football. So that's a very tough scenario. It's hard for people to get their head around.
Yeah. That would be. Now, we talked about relative weights harvest. Sometimes we do some things that are really fun. The We brought Brian Grab, and he talked about odorless and aging, because a lot of times you may have a fish that is somewhere in that relative weight of slot age. But if he's already close to his end of his days, we like to know that. That helps us manage our systems better. A lot of people can't do odorless. So what you can do a lot of times is tag fish. And tagging fish, you can go to YouTube and see that and everything. So we don't tag a bunch of fish during a survey, but we always tag a few cool ones, you know? And what that does is allows us to come back, or there's a lot of fin clips you can do, fun stuff that you can do on in the way you can mark this fish. But what that does is on this particular date, on this particular area, we caught this fish. And let's say it's a 12-inch largemouth who is 105% relative weight. We come back 2 years later, what should that fish weigh? Well, we don't know, but if we're able to see the little tag on the back, we see the number, we can see actually the growth curve. And that's really cool. And to see where these fish are going and where they should be after 2 years and where they're at. Because now it's just squirting in little management scenarios. Usually it's not a severity of a management, big renovation, I should say. It's usually just a small adjustment, just squirt in here to get that fish back up where it needs to.
I'll tell you a cool scenario on that. So the state of Georgia posted a picture this year, and this is Georgia. Keep in mind, you're not going to get the same growth rates across the country. Obviously temperatures and the ability of fish to forage throughout the season is very important, but they shocked a fish last year that was, I think, just over 8 pounds, tagged it, shocked it this year, and it was 13 pounds. It had put on 5 pounds in one season, which is astronomical. I mean, I can't even comprehend that. So if you catch a 12-inch fish that's, you know, 105% relative weight, that's going to be somewhere around 1.5 pounds, 1.3 pounds. If you tag it and catch it 2 years later and it's put on 4 pounds, it's putting on 2 pounds per season, that's a significantly growing fish depending on the region that you're in. So that's really cool for clients to see, and we love doing that type of stuff.
Right. It's just nice to see aging on the whole entire side of that fish. But
yeah, absolutely.
Anything else we need to hit on harvest?
I have my thing with harvest is, man, as bad as I hate to say it, you know, because some people don't like to hear it, but sometimes it's better just to chunk them over the back of the dam than it is to leave them in there. It's not doing the fishery any good to leave those fish in. If you can find somebody that wants them, that, you know, could, you know, keep them and clean them and eat them, or if you can do that, that's great. Sometimes that's not possible, and it's better just to eliminate the fish. You need to get them out.
They're not bad eating.
And we don't eat. Do what?
Largemouth is not a bad eating fish.
It's delicious. I hear people say all the time, oh, I don't want to eat a largemouth. I'm like, I grew up eating them, and they're delicious fish to eat. They're wonderful. So I harvested some a while back, and I called a buddy of mine, and I had harvested some 22 and 23 inch fish, and he was like, I left them in an ice chest on ice for him to come pick them up, and he said, am I supposed to have these? I was like, absolutely, take them. He loved them. They were, you know, great fish to eat. He sent me pictures of the fish they fried up, and it was, I almost drove and met him so I could have some of them. They looked delicious. So,
yeah.
Harvest.
That's it. Especially in largemouth bass production, and we're learning it in a lot of different other ways too, for sure. But I think you hit. That's right. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
This podcast, Sitting Dockside, is brought to you by Private Water Natural Resource Association, a nonprofit built just to educate private pond and lake owners on water quality and fisheries and all of that good stuff. There's videos, there's places to read, and there's a community built right into that website. So if you want to learn more, jump to pwnra.org and click. And by all means, make sure that this continues in the future. Podcasts, education, video, become a member. If nothing else, there's tons of platforms. YouTube, Facebook. Just hit like, send a comment. We appreciate everything you can do. Here, PWNRA.